Scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Sometimes we just forget to remember. I mean, we don't mean to. It's not malicious on our part. We just get so caught up in the details of our lives that sometimes the most important things are kind of pushed to the end of the line. But not today. Today is different. Today is the day that we are remembering and celebrating the lives of those church members who have passed away in the last 12 months, and also those of you who have people that are special in your own lives that you have lost in this past year. It is such a high and holy day, a beautiful day together in God's house. You've already seen our ribbon cross with all the names written on each of those ribbons, not just this year, but year after year after year. That's such a powerful symbol. Later on in the service, during the communion liturgy, each name will be lifted aloud and a bell will be rung, and that too will be a sacred and comforting moment. But here's the thing. Today is more than just ribbons and bells. It's so much more than that. Today is the day that we remember the saints of our lives, that just like us, they were imperfect people. Imperfect people following a perfect God, trying to live out their faith in the best way possible. And we all know that this way of Christ, is a difficult road at times. And we know that particularly this morning when we hear our gospel reading. Listen to these words. "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." Those are gorgeous words, absolutely gorgeous words. There's only one problem. That's not our lectionary reading this morning. That reading comes from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's version of the Beatitudes, and they are so beautiful. But ours are different. Luke's version is called the Sermon on the Plain, and I have to say that his blessings and his woes are short and to the point and sometimes just a little bit hard to hear. Hear them again. "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you." I mean, just hearing those words make us want to flip back to the Gospel of Matthew, don't they? I mean, it's very difficult to hear these words, but the woes are even harsher from our brother Luke. Hear these. Woe to the rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to all who speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. This is a very difficult passage, and it is no wonder that we mostly hear the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew. I've got to be honest with you. When I read the Gospel Lectionary reading this past week, my first thought was to just slap a warning label on it. It is very tough scripture. My second thought was, I'll just find something else that's easier to preach. And one of our pastors actually went that route. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Pastor Arthur. But I decided that there was a word from the Lord in this very tough passage, and I want us to look at that together. Now, one of the problems we struggle with Matthew's Beatitudes and Luke's Beatitudes is they put the woes in different places. Now, in Matthew's Gospels, the woes are all the way at the end of the Gospel reading, and they are directed very specifically at hypocrites. All right, we're off the hook. We're in good shape here. We know that. But not Brother Luke. Brother Luke is directing his blessings and his woes, not just to the crowds who followed Jesus, but to his disciples then and now. That means the church. That means us. Here's the thing. When we listen to Luke's blessings and woes, we are reminded once again that when Jesus came to save this world, he did some other things as well. He taught us a new way to live in love, and he also showed us that he had come to turn the world upside down, back to the way this world was meant to be. You see, Jesus made special claims for the poor and the hungry and the overlooked. And if you don't agree with that, then I would call your attention to his mother. God could have picked any woman to be the mother of the Holy Child, but God chose an uneducated, poor peasant girl who I suspect knew what it was like to go hungry. And that same poor peasant girl, before her son was even born, sang the most beautiful song and said that the poor would be vindicated by God, that the poor would be lifted up, and that the rich would be thrown down. And last but never least, who were the ones who visited the Christ child immediately following his birth? Kings and queens and princesses? No. Shepherds, working Joes. Men who were working at a dirty and dangerous job, and they had no social status whatsoever. God is making a very powerful theological statement that there is a special place in God's heart for the poor and the hungry and the weak and those who are overlooked. But what about us? What about us who don't fit into those tidy little categories? What are we supposed to do with this? I mean, most of us here got a good night's sleep in a house that was safe and warm and dry. Most of us here had a good breakfast, unless we chose not to because we're on a diet. Most of us here have enough money to go to lunch after church is over. Where do we fit in with these categories? We just need to continue listening to what Jesus is telling us in this gospel. But I will say this, if you are not feeling uncomfortable a little bit at this particular point in time, you haven't been listening to this scripture at all. But Jesus is not through with us yet. Listen to his expectations for his disciples. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other also. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are tough words. These are difficult words to live out. But in spite of that, Luke's gospel still has good news in this passage. If you are feeling woeful today, do not despair, because there is a way to turn from that to being a blessing. The first thing you have to do is understand heart, mind, body, and soul, that you have a special place in God's heart too. God has loved you since before you were born. God has loved you since before this universe was created. And God will continue to love you no matter what you do or how far away you might run from God. There's your blessing, to accept that love that is waiting for you. But there's more you need to hear. Part of that blessing is your response. You have to respond by spending a lot of time with Jesus, because that was his job, after all, to show us how to live a new way, a different way, a way that the world was meant to be. So where do we find this Jesus? Well, Luke gave us very good directions. We find Jesus when we find the poor and the hungry and the outcasts, because that's where Jesus would be. That's what Jesus always did. He always hung out with the people who needed him the most. But there's still another word from the Lord in this passage. Luke reminds us that his four blessings and his four woes are at the center of our faith. Whether we like them or not, we need to hear them, we need to understand them, and then we need to live them out. But Luke also has some good news for us as well. Luke knew that this journey of faith was difficult. Luke knew that the culture surrounding them was benign. We forget sometimes that Jesus was born into a world of war, uncertainty, pain, and suffering. And we have been born into that very same world. Nothing ever changes. Walking the Christian path is always difficult. It's always a challenge. And we cannot walk it alone. And that brings us back to the saints that we remember and celebrate today. Because of Jesus Christ, we are always walking towards life, not death. His resurrection made sure of that. Because of Jesus Christ and the saints whose lives inspire us, we are also walking toward new life right here and right now. We walk this road of faith as imperfect people, trying to live out our faith in the best way possible. It's a challenge to do so. So how do we stay on target? We just find Jesus, and we just help him build his kingdom right here, right now, in our city and in our neighborhood. The saints of this church and the saints of our lives have shown us the way, and we remember and we celebrate their lives today. But they have crossed that last river, and they are with God now, and that means the future depends on us. First Alabaster has been seeking God, loving others, and living in hope for over 100 years, and that needs to continue, and that all depends on us. I meant what I said at the children's moment. We are all saints here, all saints in the making, and we need to remember that it is our job to continue forward. But sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we need a little bit of breathing space. So that's what I'm inviting you to find this morning. I'm inviting you to remember and to receive the comfort and the encouragement of the saints of your life and of this church. I'm inviting you to receive the hope and the mercy and love that can only be found at the Lord's table. I'm inviting you to remember that we are always surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, the saints of this church, the saints of our lives, and the saints of our faith. We are never alone. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that with the saints of this church and the saints of our lives, that your kingdom will come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But as we look back and celebrate the past this morning, help us to also look toward the future. Help each of us live into the dream that you have for this church. We pray all of these things in the most blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.